Hi, everybody. Welcome to the press. Welcome to a Wednesday episode on a little bit of a strange week here for me personally, but I'm Ryan Balanchine. Great to have you with us for this episode. We're going to go over everything that we've got in the world of golf this week. We'll start with the FedEx 8 Jew Championship on the PGA Tour, the start of their playoffs, and then we've got the Nexo Championship at Trump International Golf Links in Scotland. On the DP World Tour, we've got the Pinnacle Bank Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour, which we'll talk about, and encourage you to watch our show, The Road to French Lick, for the latest on everything happening in the Korn Ferry Tour. Then we've got LIV Golf in Chicago. They're not in Chicago. They're at a public golf course called Bolingbrook Golf Club. We'll talk about that. And then the other event that we're not going to talk about, but is out there, if you're so inclined to bet on it, is the Boeing Classic, one of the PGA Tour champions out in Washington. That starts on Friday. So let's start with the FedEx St. Jude Championship. We're going to go in a little bit of a different order here. I want to go over the modeling first for this, just to get this out there for you and start the episode with it. And then we can kind of go backwards from there. So this is the FedEx St. Jude Championship being played once again at TPC Southwind in Memphis, Tennessee. This is a 7,200-yard golf course, plays as a par 70, had a little bit of work done, I believe, last year. It is a golf course that has some of the highest numbers of water features on golf courses, or any golf course on the PGA Tour. There are 11 holes with water on them. There are a lot of bunkers in kind of strategic places and dog legs. Some of them are kind of silly. It's not the best designed golf course there's ever been, but it is a pretty decent test for these players. You're going to look at a winning score of somewhere in the area of 15 to 18 under par. Obviously, this is Memphis, Tennessee in August. It's going to be hot. The ball is going to fly. It's going to play even shorter than it actually is. This is a golf course where you're going to see a lot of players hit less than driver off the tee just to get the ball in play and avoid water hazards. That's really the trick of the golf course. Otherwise, these guys would absolutely destroy it. So, that all said, we've got a 69-player field. There is no cut this week. So, there's no cut this week, next week, or for the Tour Championship. None of the playoff events have a cut. Rory McIlroy is the only eligible player in the top 70 in the FedEx Cup standings that chose not to play this. There's a whole rigmarole about all of that. I don't care. It doesn't affect us here. And I really don't care that he's skipping it, because if we all had the opportunity to skip playing in 100-degree weather in very humid conditions in August in Memphis, Tennessee, we would take it and happily exchange for hundreds of millions of dollars. So, nothing against Rory for not playing here. His choice. There are, you know, supposedly independent contractors, even though it's not technically true. But anyway, so that all said, everybody else is playing. We cut to the top 50 players and top 50 players in the FedEx Cup standings at the end of this week. And that's the field for the BMW Championship, which will be in my backyard in Owings Mills, Maryland, at Caves Valley. That's next week. So there is not a cut in the tournament, so to speak, right? You're going to get all four rounds in, and there are 2,000 FedEx Cup points to the winner. So quadruple the points for a regular season standard issue event here this week. If you had access to the events that are part of the signature series, the eight events of that, they get 700 points to the winner, right? So not closer to three times those guys in the end. And then that's for this event and the next one. And then you just got to get in the top 30 to get in the Tour Championship. Tour Championship format has changed. It's just a 72-hole shootout. There's bonuses now at different stages. Kind of hedge against that. But know what the guys are playing for this week. I'm not saying all this to kind of bore you. I'm saying it because these guys, outside of probably the top 10 players, they're playing for a lot here. They're playing for a lot of cash, for one. And for two, access to tournaments. If you get into the top 50, you get in all the signature events next year. That's free money, free points. It's hard to kind of, if you play okay, you're probably going to be in the top 50 again. And if you get in the top 30, you get access to three of the four major championships, and really you get access to all four based on getting into the Tour Championship. So there is a lot on the line for a player that's not consistently in the top 30 in the world that's going on the next few weeks. So there's a lot of motivation beyond, on top of $100 million in total prize money being doled out here for the FedEx Cup bonus pool, and the $20 million doled out per tournament in these first two events, and then the $40 million that was the Comcast Business Tour Top 10 that was doled out already. Scottie Scheffler won $18 million for winning both the Comcast Business Tour Top 10 and this new $20 million bonus pool they created, just so they had these kind of markers for free money for the top players at the beginning of the playoffs. All right, let's get into the top 10 in the FedEx St. Jude Championship model that we do. Here is your ranking. Scottie Scheffler is number one by almost double the number of points over Xander Schauffele. He is that far ahead. At the start of the week, I saw him at 11-4. I saw him in an offshore book just a few minutes ago at 3-1. So maybe there's not a ton of action on Scottie at that number. Maybe just someone's kind of hoping that he doesn't win. But his odds actually have gone back toward 3-1, which is kind of surprising. Xander Schauffele is number two. Russell Henley is number three. And he is actually pretty close to Xander Schauffele in the point scheme here. Tommy Fleetwood is fourth. Hideki Matsuyama is fifth. He's a past winner here, so he gets a big rub. Patrick Cantlay is sixth. Our modeling, if you've listened to the show long enough, is very long-term focused, 1 and 2 year windows for the most part. And yeah, over the long haul, Patrick Cantlay is a great play, and he plays this golf course quite well, actually. However, if I were to just kind of make a top 10 guys out of thin air, and I do a ranking of that every week, regardless of what my numbers say, I would not have Patrick Cantlay in the top 25 or 26 players, you know? It wouldn't even be close. Victor Hovland is 7th, Bob McIntyre is 8th, Ludvig Åberg is 9th, and Harry Hall, believe it or not, is in 10th. And then Keegan Bradley's 11th, Justin Thomas is 12th, just in case you're curious. The other players above 1 point in our ranking, which is, I would say, it's makes you a very good player, Maverick McNealy and Corey Conner. So 14 players deep are one above. So that is the look at the top 12, 13 players this week. Down at the very tail end, you've got guys like Cam Davis, Joe Highsmith, Davis Riley, even Aldrich Potgieter, Brian Campbell. I actually would consider betting Brian Campbell this week, and I've convinced my dumb brain of that. We'll get into more of that later, but the guy hits the ball straight. He keeps it out of play. He doesn't hit it too long, so he can hit driver a whole lot. He's a flusher, and he doesn't get flustered under pressure. Kind of makes him interesting in a really weird way. I'm not saying he's going to win, but it makes him an interesting bet. So that's the top 10 of the ranking, plus a couple other guys. We do our whole ranking available over at golfnewsnet.com for our members, $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, and $100 for 3 years. So let's translate that all into what the market looks like right now. So you got, as mentioned, Scottie at 3-1, Xander 16-1, Chris Kirk's 18-1. What in the world? What happened to this book? This is an offshore book I'm looking at. What is Kirk at? Like in a different shot. Okay. So, something was wrong at the offshore book I was looking at, which is Bet Online, by the way. I just don't want to give him the free advertising, but Chris Kirk is 90-1 in normal places, so they must have taken a massive bet on Chris Kirk. Anyhow, the other guys, if you're looking at Jeff Sherman's golfodds.com, which I often look at, he's a great source, very in tune. He does the Westgate down in Las Vegas, so his stuff is a little bit more disorganized. But your 25s are Ludvig, Tommy Fleetwood, Matt Fitzpatrick, Colin Morikawa, and Russell Henley. And I think all of those are well-placed. I like Russell Henley a heck of a lot this week. He is my one-and-done play. I like Victor Hovland, who's 30-1. He plays this golf course quite well. Sepp Straka, I think, is interesting. He lost in a playoff here to Will Zalatoris 3 years ago. He's a much better player now. He's 40-1. JT is 30-1 because he's won here. I don't think that there's a whole lot of benefit otherwise to picking him. Matt Fitzpatrick's low because he is also one here back when it was a WGC. It was a WGC for like 2 or 3 years because they lost the Bridgestone Invitational, so they moved it here and called it the FedEx St. Jude Invitational, and then they made it a playoff event. Basically, this is all just to keep FedEx happy. And they keep dragging it back to Memphis and TPC Southwind because one's a TPC and two, FedEx is located in Memphis. So this is why we're here. But those are guys who have played this venue pretty well. Cantlay's 40. Matsuyama's 35. Aaron Rye's 35. I think Aaron Rye's kind of interesting at that number. Still too low to compare with you know, the likes of Matsuyama, and not that far away from, I mean, Ben Griffin's 40. I would take Ben Griffin over Aaron Rye. Corey Connors is 40-1, I think, is kind of an interesting number. Sam Burns, who cost me dearly here, I guess that would have been 3 years ago, 2 years ago, whatever year that was, when I had him in a 50-1 ticket, got into a playoff, and he ganked a five-footer to cost me the money. I've never forgiven him for that, but nevertheless, he's 40-1, and he is playing pretty okay golf. Not great golf, but pretty okay golf. Cam Young's 40-1, and I do think there's an interesting case to be made to bet him here at 40-1, because when he last was a trophy lifter on the Korn Ferry Tour, he went back-to-back after his win. So I would not be surprised to see that be a little bit of a lid lifter, not a permanent one, right? I mean, I don't think he's going on a Duval run of 11 wins and 33 starts or something like that, but maybe he could contend here again this week. I don't think that the venue particularly suits him, but then again, I didn't think that Sedgefield really suited him. And if he can keep the ball in play, which he can, he's long, he doesn't need to hit driver around this place, maybe he's got a chance, especially if he putts like he has on the back half of this season, the real back, or really back third of this season, he can win on these grounds. Harris English is 40-1. I think that's an interesting play. Keegan Bradley, a little too wild for me, at 55-1. Daniel Berger and Bob McIntyre, 50-1, along with Jordan Spieth. Spieth's been playing good golf. I don't like him at this golf course, but he has been playing good golf. I will give him that. Matt McNeely, Chris Goddard at 55-1. I like Bobby Mack here. I liked him last week. I played him in one and done. He did not show up particularly well, but I do like him. I think he can play this venue quite well. It does seem to line up with the places he's won. Well, really thinking about this Canadian Open win, but I do think he can line up pretty well here. Shane Lowry, 60-1. I'd rather go for a Chris Goddard up in that range, I think. Goddard and McNeely are totally different guys, but I think Goddard's a guy that's got a lot more mo going right now than Matt McNeely does. JJ Spahn is 60-1, remotely interesting. Wyndham Clark is 55-1, which I do think is interesting. He has been playing well. He seems happier. I don't have a lot of pulse to put on this that he's going to suddenly become a world beater again, but the conditions are ripe based on the evidence and just kind of how his attitude seems that maybe something good is going to happen for him toward the tail end of this season. Denny McCarthy is a bit of a horse for course, and we haven't talked about those guys yet, but he is a bit of a horse for course at 65-1. Get JT Poston at 65-1. That'd be a no. Jake Knapp could get around with probably 5-iron. And I think I can see some parallel between his performance at TPC Twin Cities and TPC Southwind. Again, both courses have a lot of water in play. You can't really go full bore on many shots because of the water in play. He almost got it there. I think he'd be an interesting guy to look at. Kitayama, 70-1. I think you probably make the same thought there. I love Chris Kirk here this week. I also love Brian Harman. They're both 90-1. I would consider playing them. I would play Ryan Gerard at 100-1. I think his game travels everywhere. I am pretty biased for him. I bet him a lot, and I've won with him, so I'm going to keep going with it. But I think those guys in that 90 to 100 range, Kirk, Harman, Gerard, Kirk and Harman have some decent results here, Harman especially, I think is worth a look. And then you kind of get into, Nico Echeverria has been playing better. He's so hard to predict, but he's been playing better, 150-1. I'm not going to play that. If you get down to like a Patrick Rogers, who's quite confident right now, but he's 200-1. Tom Hoagie, you can't play. I mean, he literally played DFL golf last week at the Wyndham. And Brian Campbell is 300-1. You've heard my weird case for him. I think I'm going to bet it. And if he wins, we'll all be shocked together, right? Rick Rungood, Rick Gaiman has done some cool posts over the course of, especially the back half of the year, of like, hey, if you bet $100 on this guy every week, how much money would you be up or down on them? If you bet, Hunter and Scotty every week, you basically made like your money back plus $300. If you bet on Brian Harman every week and $100, you have come out way ahead because he's won at massive prices. Well, he's another massive price here. Not saying that's the reason to bet him, but I feel like his ability to actually hit driver on this golf course and his ability to keep the ball in play goes a long way here. Do I think he's going to suddenly beat Scottie Scheffler in a playoff event? No, not really. That's why he's 301. The number of people he's got to go through to win is quite different than when he won the Mexico Open and quite different from when he won the John Deere Classic, even though the Deere Classic field was actually not bad. But you're telling me he's going to be the first crop of guys that we listed that are 25-1 or less? It's hard to believe, but it's kind of a fun little bet to have there. That all said, there aren't a ton of horses for courses here. It's kind of weird in that regard for a couple of different reasons. One, it just doesn't seem to exist. And two, they've had this event basically over the last 5 years in either July or August, and they've kind of intended it to be a limited field event, so not everyone gets to qualify for it. And the guys that do seem to qualify for it every year don't seem to care for it, except Justin Thomas and Matt Fitzpatrick. And other than that, that's kind of the extent of it. So there's not much to speak of in terms of horses for courses that play here consistently. Some of the guys that would be listed aren't qualified for this event, which kind of makes it tricky. So not a whole lot to work with there. If you want to kind of look for course fits, just trying to make some comparisons between the courses. So if you're looking at the FedEx St. Jude or WGC FedEx, either way, it's basically the same, but it's about a 36-64 breakout. So it's a little bit heavier on strokes gained putting than other courses, and a little less heavy, really specifically off the tee, than other courses on the PGA Tour, because it's a tight driving course, because it's not so long. So there's a lot more emphasis on short game. There's a lot more emphasis on short game, to be honest with you, and putting. So than other courses, it's substantially more like 52% is short game and putting, around the green and putting. And it's just not like that at pretty much any other course in the PGA Tour. So the intrigue here is the people who win this tournament are typically not great putters. I mean, if you look historically at who's won here, especially in the last 5 years, it doesn't scream great putters. It screams flushers. Guys who play well, Zalatoris, flusher, Hideki, flusher. Lucas Glover, flusher. I mean, he can't putt to save his life. Tony Finau, flusher. Dustin Johnson loved this course. He wasn't a great putter. Patrick Reed won here twice. He actually has great short game. Bryson's won here. I mean, there were times where power players won here pretty consistently between Dustin and Bryson. Tony Finau is a power player. But all of those guys, I mean, Dustin Johnson won the 1 year 30 under par. I mean, that's nuts. I totally forgot about that in 2020. But winning score the last 3 years, 17, 15, and 15. I mean, they have made a concerted effort to make it more difficult. The other thing I think you also should know, if you aren't aware, is the PGA Tour kind of put out this release in May saying that they wanted the FedEx Cup events to be set up to play substantially more difficult than they do week to week for the PGA Tour. They want winning scores to be more like 10, 12 under par, maybe even single digits under par, not 15, 20, 25 under par. We're not going to get that. They're going to set this up purposefully to be more difficult. Faster greens, harder greens, deeper rough, expect it here and next week. I don't know how they can trick up Caves Valley next week to make it any winning score less than 20 under par. I mean, it's just not hard enough. You can't make it hard enough, I don't think. But maybe I'll be surprised. The other thing I want to point out here is that in 3 of the last 4 years, this tournament has gone to a playoff. Dustin Johnson won by 11 in 2020. Beyond that, Patrick Reed won by 1 in 2018. Then you had Finau playoff, Zalatoris playoff, Glover playoff, horrible playoff at that. And then you had Hideki Matsuyama win by a deuce. So, and that was kind of because it got away from, I forget who it got away from last year, but That's where we're at with this. Okay. So if you, and we haven't talked about them in the show in many months, but if you do like to play that prop market of the best, you know, the winning margin, playoff and probably one stroke are your way to go. There's too much of a consistent record of tight play here, and you only have 69 players. And you do have kind of the best of the best, so to speak. You get a lot of flushers. You're just bound to kind of be in a tight leaderboard situation come Sunday afternoon. So I will throw that out there. If you're kind of looking at just last five PGA Tour events played, which is really a little bit more than that because we have oppos and stuff, although very rare did you play in an oppo and get this thing other than like Ryan Gerard. But if you're looking at that, obviously kind of a lot of the same names come up. Wyndham Clark's been playing well. Echeverria's been playing okay. Matt Fitzpatrick's been playing great. Chris Goddard's playing great. Obviously, Chris Kirk's been playing well. Kitayama's been playing well. Knapp's been playing well. Jackson Quaivoon, shout out. He's not playing in this, but he's going to be a stud in the fall. Scheffler, obviously, playing great. Schauffele playing better. Not great, but much better, closer to his standard. Jake Knapp's been playing great. I mean, those are guys based on the last five, six-ish PGA Tour events played. Let's talk a little bit about our low variance friends. So we're talking about guys who are gaining strokes consistently tee to green in the last 10 events, or 30 events for this is 30 events, but with low variance. So lighter variance, smoother curves, better expectation. Scheffler, Keegan Bradley, Tommy Fleetwood, Sepp Straka, Shane Lowry, Siwoo, Patrick Cantlay, believe it or not, Ryan Gerard, he just can't putt. Jordan Spieth, Ben Griffin, Chris Goddard, JT, Bobby Mack. I think that's probably a representative list. So you kind of hear a lot of the guys that do well week to week on that list, right? So nothing too crazy there. Let's talk a little bit about the short-term form. So what we typically do with this is a graphic when we do the video version of the show, but we're looking at players who are gaining 1.5 strokes per round on the quality strokes gained metric, 1.2 strokes per round in the strokes gained in the aggregate. So strokes gained aggregate multiplied by a function of the official world golf ranking determines your quality strokes gained. Basically, you're playing against good competition or not. And then separate from that, we're looking at players who are gaining 0.6 strokes per round on the approach. So you may not be putting it great, but if you're hitting it well on the approach, you're a couple of good putting rounds away from playing great golf, right? You can be an outlier for a week putting-wise and win. So looking at the guys in the total category, there really isn't much deviation, to be honest with you, between total and quality strokes gained. Our deviations are Xander Schauffele, but just a little bit, and Matt McNeely by actually a fairly substantial amount. But McNeely's getting close to a stroke per average on the aggregate, and then 1.5 strokes on the quality strokes gained. So everybody else other than Xander and him are on both lists. The only guy who is on the strokes gained total list but not on the quality strokes gained list is Aldrich Potgieter, and that's because he's been beaten up on the weaker competition. That doesn't mean he's not playing well. It doesn't mean he's not performing well. Just saying the people he's playing against aren't as good. So, all right, here's that list in order. Scottie Scheffler, Russell Henley, Ben Griffin, Chris Goddard, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Jake Knapp, Harry Hall, Kurt Kitayama, Keegan Bradley, J.J. Spaun, Robert McIntyre, Nick Taylor, Jason Day, Aldrich Potgieter, Harris English, Emiliano Grillo, Ludovic Aubert, and Victor Hovland, and Jordan Spieth rounds out that list. Now, separately, here's the in order from top to bottom list of guys that qualify for the approach side of things. So you may not be on both lists. About two-thirds of them are. Some of them are just on the precipice of being on it. But like Colin Morikawa has been great on the approach, but absolutely atrocious in putting a short game. It almost nullifies how well he's been on the approach. That's how bad it is. That's amazing. Shane Lowry, same thing. Can't putt, can't chip, barely can get off the tee, but man, he's playing great on the approach. Very interesting. Okay, so here's that list in order. Scottie Scheffler, Kurt Kitayama, Shane Lowry, Victor Hovland, Akshay Bhatia. And Akshay is not really struggling in any of the other stuff, just not, just barely positive on the other things. Not so good around the green, but I can kind of find that negligible. Russell Henley, Pat Guider, Colin Morikawa, Ben Griffin, Nick Taylor, Lucas Glover. So, some pretty common suspects there. And close to that 0.6 threshold, very, very close. Xander Schauffele, extremely close. Tommy Fleetwood, very close. Daniel Berger, very close. So, a lot of common names you're expecting to hear there. All that said, again, we're in a 70-player, 69-player, no-cut event. You're going to find guys like Victor Hovland to love and Russell Henley to love, and for good reason. I think you want to take a couple guys that are in the 75 to 100 range. My guys are almost all in the 90 range between Kirk and Harmon and Gerard, and then go find one long shot and see if something crazy happens. And for me, that guy's Brian Campbell. So that's my thoughts on this week on the PGA Tour. Now, let's talk a little bit about Live Golf Chicago for just a few seconds, and then we'll come back to the we won't do the Boeing Classic, but we will come back to the Corn Ferry Tour. So Live Chicago Bolingbrook Golf Club, it's a public golf course. It did play actually pretty decently last year. Again, this is really like a five-person tour these days, and you look at the top six on the table. Rahm 4-1, Bryson 6-1, Neiman 7.5-1, Hatton 11-1, Reed 16-1, Talor Gooch 18-1. Then you get to like Sebastian Munoz, a great year, 22-1. Cam Smith then 30-1, Pooj 33, Leishman 33, Abe Ancer, Brooks Koepka, Paul Casey, Sergio Garcia, Tom McKibben all 35-1. Look, if I was going to bet anybody in this tournament, I think I would probably start at Rahm, then Hatton, potentially Munoz, but I hate that number. I go down to Bubba Watson at 40, maybe a Lucas Herbert at 50. I don't know how Dustin Johnson's 55-1. He was terrible in the last event. It's just so hard to bet on this league because if you look at the bottom 25 players, you go, there's no way they're going to win. They might finish in the top three by sheer luck, but there's no chance any of them are going to win this thing. And it makes betting on this kind of miserable. But at least Bubba Watson's been pretty interesting. Carlos Ortiz, in a way, has been interesting. I think he could be worth a look. But there's just been so much bleh play on Liv. So that's my short thing about Liv. It's hard to bet on it because the value stinks. And half the players are unbettable. All right. Pinnacle Bank Championship on the Corn Ferry Tour. We'll talk about this as well. So this is out in Omaha, Nebraska. Next to last regular season event. We've got three guys who have won twice this year on the tour. If they win, then they get their PGA Tour card, but they get nothing for it right now because now they're in the playoffs. So there's no benefit to winning a third time. Not saying that they shouldn't try, but the benefit isn't quite there. So you've got Neil Shipley at 14-1, Johnny Kiefer at 16-1. Johnny Kiefer is, I think, a reasonable bet every time. He's a star in the making. Pearson Cootie, 16-1, had a really nice effort at the 3M Open. It's not going to get him to the PGA Tour card status. It's going to give him plenty of starts in the fall, right? It'll give him a chance to get his card that way, but he's in a good position here to get it. So he could double dip. He could get a card through the Corn Ferry Tour for 26 and then still keep chasing in the fall. That's really the ideal scenario for him. I like his chances here, 16-1. Austin Smotherman, the other guy with two wins, 20-1. Kensei Harada had a great run at the Utah Championship, 22-1. Davis Chatfield, Taylor Montgomery, both 25-1. Chatfield's won this year. Montgomery should have, well, should have is a strong word. He had a really good chance to win last week. He's been playing pretty well, but I just feel like these numbers are too short. Like Zach Bouchot at 28 is kind of interesting. Chandler Blanchett already won this year. He's 33. I feel like it was a little bit more of a kind of hit or miss thing. Blades Brown at 45-1, I think is asking a lot, but he's also playing really well. He's in the top 65-ish, not quite, in points. He's going to get in all the Korn Ferry Tour Finals events, probably with one more cash, almost a lock to get into the Korn Ferry Tour Championship as well. I mean, he's got a place to play next year, almost guaranteed. And what he's done is very, very impressive. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays well here this week. Then you start to scroll down. How you get to like Chase Koepka, like Monday queued for this thing. He's 50-1. That's a slap in the face of the rest of this tour. He's not that good. I think people just saw his name and were like, oh, I should bet that guy. I'd rather bet Quade Cummins or Cooper Dossi at 65 or 75-1. Baron Botha was T2 last week. He's 80-1. He's kind of interesting to me. Seems to be maybe coming along at the right time. Sudarshan Yellamiraju showed up recently a few weeks ago. 100-1 could be an interesting play to me this week, and that's probably going to be the extent of it for me. Joe Weiler has been playing pretty okay at times, had some good finishes. 150-1, I think, would probably be worth a look for me as well. But I don't think I would go after... I would also look at Emilio Gonzalez at 45-1. I think he's got a really good chance of winning here this week. Then we have the Albertsons Boise Open, and that's the end of it for the regular season on the Korn Ferry Tour. I think that's going to do it for us on this show. I don't really have any plays for the Nexo Championship because I don't know Trump Aberdeen, and it feels like they're just kind of reestablishing the DP World Tour after multiple weeks of co-sanctioned events or OPPO co-sanctioned events. I think I'm just going to take that week. I just want to see what happens here this week, and then we can talk about the rest of the season on the DP World Tour. But I would advise no action this week on the DP World Tour. Unless you're a true sicko, then I go look at Ryan Baroff, who's been on a bit of a nice heater lately. He does bet pretty much every tour every week, and he does have some good bets for the Nexo Championship. All right, that's going to do it for us this week on the show. Thanks so much for listening. I appreciate it. Back next week with another slate of shows. We'll talk about the BMW Championship. I think we have this next week off for LIV, and then they go back-to-back to end of the year because they're going to try and compete with the PGA Tour playoffs for some reason. Hey, have at it, whatever. We'll have some LPGA action next week as well. Things kind of heat up here for a little while into the early fall, and then, you know, at the end of August, we get the PGA Tour FedEx Cup season goes away, LIV goes away, and then it's kind of the other tour's time to shine. We'll still have plenty of LPGA action. We'll still have plenty of DP World Tour action. We'll get toward their BMW PGA Championship, which is great. Still lots to happen. So the rest of the way, we'll have plenty to talk about. If you have any questions, email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm on Twitter, X, whatever it's called, Instagram, Blue Sky, Facebook, either at Ryan Ballingy or Ryan Ballingy Golf. Find me either way. Happy to talk to you about life, about betting, whatever. You can join Golf News Net for $40 for 1 year, $70 for 2 years, or $100 for 3 years over at golfnewsnet.com. Get access to all of our modeling and tools that we use every single week and talk about on this show. You can watch the show when we do the video versions on Golf News Net TV. It's available on Zeem, Free Live Sports, and Freecast. Also on the Golf News Net apps for Roku and Amazon Fire. And we're finally getting our act together on the Watch Golf On Demand platform, which will be available on Samsung, Vizio, and LG as well. But we'll have more about that throughout the fall. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck with all your bets this week. I'm Ryan Ballingy. We'll talk to you next time right here on The Press.